of Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, and then we're going to go to the book of 1 Kings. Amen. I would like to mention this week's a very special week. Grace Point, one of our Way of Life ministries, is getting a church in a day. Yes, I said a church in a day. They have a slab, and by the time we get there Friday morning, they're going to have the walls put together, laying down. And in just a matter of an hour or two, they're going to be standing up. In 3 hours, it's going to be dried in. And by Sunday, they're going to have church next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. They're going to have their own building. Isn't that great? Amen. And so if you can be there Friday, you want to be there Friday. In fact, you want to be there before the sun comes up so you can be a part of putting that building up, and it's going to be the most miraculous thing you've ever seen. If you can't come that early, come later. They'll be working all night long. In fact, if you can't come Friday at all, you still have an opportunity Saturday. They're going to be finishing up. They're going to be doing the punch list and making sure everything's right and then cleaning up and getting ready for Sunday. So you want to be a part of that. It's going to be fantastic. Amen. And then just around the corner on October 28th, we are having our All Nations Sunday. And that morning, we're going to celebrate the diversity of the church. Every great revival church is a diverse, multicultural church. Amen. That's the way heaven's going to be. All nations and tongues and creeds and colors, and everybody's going to be there. And so the church, when it's a revival church, is a multicultural church. And so on the 28th, we're going to celebrate. We're also going to receive an offering for global missions that day. And we're going to update our faith promise pledges for global missions. We send missionaries all around the world. Amen. And then back up to the 26th, that's Friday night, we're going to have our annual fall community party. And it's going to be fantastic. It starts at 7 o'clock, goes till 10 o'clock. And we're going to have a bonfire and singing. And we need candy. If you want to start bringing candy, that would be great. We're going to have a wonderful time. Also, sign up for the chili cook-off out there on the information center. First Kings, well, let's go to Isaiah first, 61 and 1. When Jesus wanted to reveal himself to the people in the synagogue, he called for the scroll that was the book of Isaiah, and he read this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. And then 1 Kings 17, chapter 17 and verse 10. So he arose, talking about the prophet, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful, everybody say a handful, of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. That's not a lot of wood. Two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. What a powerful message. And today I want to preach to you on this subject: limited resources, unlimited God. Limited resources, unlimited God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch our minds and our hearts, Lord. Not that I would just preach a sermon today, Lord, but the word of God would be made manifest in this house. That it would settle deeply upon our lives and deeply into our hearts. That we would not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. That we would walk in obedience today, and that we would respond with faith. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to touch us today with your power in Jesus' mighty name. Won't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I think one of the greatest challenges in our world today to our success, even in a cultural sense or in a spiritual sense, is really how we think about ourselves. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? The Bible says that the children of Israel, they sent spies into the land of Canaan, and they came back from the land of promise, and they said, surely it flows with milk and honey. It's everything God said it was. Here is the proof. Here's the clusters of grapes that we had to carry on a staff between two men. And surely it's everything that God said it was. But they said, wait, we're not able to take it because there are walled cities, there are armies, there are giants there. And then they said this. They said, and in our sight, we were grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. And so I think the greatest hindrance to spiritual power and anointing in an individual life is how we think about ourselves. Because so often we look at our ability and we think, well, I really don't have a lot to offer. And we look at all of our failures and we say, well, look at my failures. There's no way that God can use me. There's no way that he can take what little I have and really do anything with it. But I want to dispel that false teaching, that false thought in your mind today, because it doesn't matter how much you've got. All it matters is that you bring it and put it into the hands of God. Because you have limited resources. Your intellect is limited. Your knowledge is limited. Your wisdom is limited. Your finances are limited. Your ability, your talents are limited. Yes, they are. But that's all right, because we have an unlimited God. We have a God that can do much with little. He doesn't need a whole lot. He just needs what you got. If you'll put it in his hands, if you'll release it to him, he will do mighty things through you. Amen. It doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter who your family is. Amen. We talked about it last week, the face of heaven. If you didn't hear it, if you weren't here, you need to go to the podcast and listen to that message, because it's life-changing. If I do say so myself, it's life-changing. Not because I preached it, but because God gave it. Amen. Let's clap our hands under that. Praise God. And so it doesn't matter where you come from. There are children sitting here today that if you will put your hands into the hands of God and you will commit yourself to the things that the Bible teaches and you will surround yourself with wisdom and wise people that will help you, I promise you that God will do some great things with you. He will take you places you thought you would never go. You will do things that you thought you would never do. You will be things that you thought you could never be, because in the hands of God, we can do all things. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Praise God. When Simeon was little, we had somebody watching him one day. Somebody was watching, and they said, "Hey, you can't do that." And he used the scripture against him. He said, "Oh, I can do all things through Christ." I kind of think he was misusing it, but there you go. But the devil will tell you you can't do it. Your own mind will tell you you can't do it. You can't be it. You can't accomplish it. You can't worship. You can't teach. You can't witness. You can't win. You can't be a part of the kingdom of God. But I want you to know that the devil is a liar. Amen. And so is your own heart. The Bible says it's deceitfully wicked, and who can believe it? You cannot believe it. You cannot trust it. And so you need to stick with the Word of God. He said it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you bring. I can change it. I can make it. Amen. And so this beautiful story, this little widow woman, Elijah came to her house, and he came by appointment of God. God sent him there. And so he went to Zarephath, and he saw this little widow woman, and he asked her for a drink. And of course, the water was there, and so she started to go get him a drink. And while she was walking away, he went straight to the heart of the matter, just like God usually does, and says, "Hey, bring me something to eat while you're at it. While you're going to the well, could you also bring me back a little piece of cake?" And she said, "Sir, as your God lives, I don't have a cake. I don't even have a cake, Lord. All I have is a little bit of meal, and I got a little bit of oil. And it's so little that I'm going to get two sticks." Who ever built a fire with two sticks? "I only got two sticks. And if you build a fire with two sticks, it's not going to last long. You're not going to cook much." And so she said, I was going to build a fire, and I was going to prepare this little bit of meal. And I was going to take the oil and use it to make the cake. And my son and I were going to eat it, and then we're going to die." Wow. She knew what was going to happen. "We're going to eat it, and we're going to die." But the prophet said, "Wait a minute. Before you do that, I want you to go and make me a cake first." How many know that God wants to be first? It wasn't about Elijah being first. It was about God being first. Amen. And if you want to touch God, touch the church. If you want to put God first, put the church first. Put it priority in your life. Put it priority in your schedule. Make sure you build everything else around it. We got too many people fitting in church where it fits instead of fitting in life where it fits. We need to make church the centerpiece of our world. Amen. It's the only thing that's getting out of here is the church. Amen. And so he said, "Bring me a little cake first." And he said, "Because thus saith the Lord, the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, they will not fail until rain falls on the earth, until this drought, until this famine is over, you will have food. But you got to bring me a cake first." And the Bible says that she did as the prophet said, and she went and made him a cake. And from that time until the rain fell, they had bread. In fact, it says they ate many days. So let me explain it to you. The resources that were in her hands, it was just a little bit of meal and just a little bit of oil. And in her hands, that's all it was. It was enough to make a little bitty cake. It wasn't even a cake. She said, I don't even have a cake. I just have this. And so I'm just going to make a portion. Whatever it makes, we're going to make it, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. So in her hands, it was just a little. But when she released it into the hands of God, when she made a cake for the man of God first and brought it to him, she translated from her meal barrel to his meal barrel. She translated from her cruse of oil to his cruse of oil. And his was connected to an unlimited supply because he is an unlimited God. And so here I am in my own self. I have this much strength. I have this much intelligence. I have this much talent. And it doesn't really add up to much. When I look in the mirror, I know myself better than anyone else knows me. And I know how small and how frail and how weak I am. But Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In my weakness is he made strong. In my weakness is he glorified. And so I take assessment of my life today, and I really don't have a lot to offer. And it may just be like the ashes that were mentioned in Isaiah. All I have is what's left over after all the good stuff has been burnt out. And so you may be here today and you have lived life to the hardest and to the fullness. And I always tell people it's not the year model, it's the mileage that will get you. And so sometimes you come into the house of God and you have lived so hard and you have wasted so much time and you have had failed relationship and failed marriages and you've had failure after failure and you come in and you feel like you have nothing to offer. You're thinking, what could he do with me? But he said in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel, to do all these things. And he said, I'm going to exchange your ashes for beauty. I'm going to exchange what is left over after you have burnt it all out. After you have wasted all the years, after you have had failed relationship after failed relationship, I am going to take all of your failures, and they're not worth anything because ashes are really not worth anything. But when you bring them to God, he exchanges your nothing for something. He exchanges your heartache for heart mending. He changes your pain for joy. He puts it in your hands, and he changes it because he is unlimited today. So in her hands, it was just the Last Supper in her hands. But in God's hands, it was sustenance for the entire course of the famine. Amen. We look at Moses' life, and he argues with God. He says, I can't go. They won't hear me. I can't even talk right. I'm a murderer, I'm a fugitive, I've ran away. Lord, I can't go back to Egypt and tell them, let my people go. And they won't believe me anyway. And the Lord said, well, what's in your hand? He said, well, it's just a rod, it's just my old walking stick, just so I won't fall, so I won't stumble out here in the desert while I'm watching the sheep. And I beat off the prey with it, and I pull in the sheep with it. And it's just a stick, Lord. He said, throw it down. Throw it down. And when he released it, that stick turned into a serpent. A miracle. In his hands, it was just a piece of wood. In God's hands, it was a miracle. Amen. And so he picked it back up, and it became a stick again. And he walked into the greatest country on the face of the earth at that time in history, and he said, let my people. Moses, in his own hands, he was a murderer. He was stuttering. He was stumbling over his own words. He did not know what to do. He was just a shepherd on the backside of nowhere. But oh, when he put his shepherd's staff into the hands of God, it was a miracle waiting to happen. Amen. We see a little boy's lunch, it was just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It was just a good mama's lunch for her little boy. he left the house that day, I'm sure she bound it up in some little cloth and said, "Hey, son, I know there's going to be a lot of people out there, and you're going to be out there for a while, and so I want to give you something to eat." And so he took it, and he joined the 5,000 men plus women and children just to hear the voice of Jesus. And they listened all day long until they were hungry, and the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And he said, "What do we have to feed them?" And they said, "Well, we don't have much. We just have this amount of money. And what is this little?" I love that. "What is this little among so many?" And Jesus said, "Well, what do you have? What do you have?" And somebody said, "Well, this little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. How much faith does it take to tell Jesus, "Well, we have this much money, it won't buy anything"? And then somebody has 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do you want to do with that, Lord? He said, "Oh, bring it. That's exactly what I need." And so out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, he blessed it, he broke it, and he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. They estimate over 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So little. Just a drop in the bucket. Just a pebble of sand on a seashore. Just one star in the night sky. Not much. Wouldn't go very far. It was very, very limited. But when the boy and the disciples moved it from their hands to his hands, the 5 loaves and 2 fish became a feast for 20,000 people. And then when they were done, Jesus, just for good measure, he said, "Hey, fellas, why don't you go gather up the fragments?" And the Bible says that 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000 plus men and women, plus women and children. And they gathered up 12 baskets full. The Bible doesn't say this, but I can just imagine. I can just imagine that the little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish, somebody said, "Well, why don't, just for the fun of it, why don't we send him home with a basket full?" And I could just see that little boy carrying the fish and the loaves back to his house. And his mama said, "What in the world is going on? I sent you with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You marched out of here and skipped over the hillside carrying that little bag of food. And here you are coming back stumbling, carrying something that's almost too heavy for you to carry." And he says, "Mama, you won't believe it, but this is my lunch. In fact, not only is this my lunch, but there's 11 more baskets full. And not only is there 11 more baskets full, my little lunch that you gave me this morning fed 5,000 plus women and children. I want you to know that in your hands, your stuff is limited, but in God, hands, it's miraculous. He multiplies it. So just bring it to the Lord. Whatever you got, bring your brokenness, bring your heartache, bring your addiction, bring your years of regret. That's all right. That's all he needs. That's all he wants. He just wants you to bring him what you have. He just wants you to bring him all the stuff that you can't do anything with anyway. Amen. He just wants you to bring it, because in his hands, he turns ashes into beauty. In his hands, he turns mourning into joy. In his hands, he turns turmoil into peace. In his hands, he turns uselessness into usefulness. He transforms the rags into holiness. He transforms all of the pain into joy. He transforms your limited resources. We are like the boys' loaves of bread and fish. With ourselves, within ourselves, we are very limited. Our effect to the people around us is very limited. Oh, we can offer temporary comfort or help, but in the end, our effort is only a drop in their ocean of need. We can make ourselves into a good person. We can educate ourselves to be proficient in certain occupations. However, in our hands, our success is only for a moment. It's fleeting. It's like the grass of the field. It grows and vanishes away. We cannot even save ourselves. We need to place our limited resources into the hands of an unlimited God. Amen. We need to place ourselves in His hands for eternal change, not only for ourselves, but for everyone that we touch and speak to. Our vessel alone can only hold limited amounts of resources. However, when we give ourselves to be a vessel for God, we will overflow. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. It shall be endless. It will be limitless. It will be powerful. It will be life-changing if we will put ourselves into the hands of God. If I put all of my energy today into helping you, and I try to do that. I try to serve people. But if I do it with my own talent, I can only help you for a little while. I can only accomplish a few things because I'm limited. If you go to a financial person to help you out of your financial struggle, they can help you, but they're limited. If you go to a doctor, oh, he can help you, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he's limited. If you go to the banker, he's limited what he can do. If you go to a lawyer, they're limited by what they can accomplish for you. But if you will today put your resources, your time, your talent, your treasure, the brokenness of your life, the regrets of your life, the things that should have been and could have been, the things that are holding you back today, you know, so many times we say, well, Pastor, I would love to do that, but, you know, you don't understand who I am and where I've been, what I've done, and what I should have done and didn't do. We make all these excuses, but God is saying, wait a minute. You can either make your cake and eat it, or you can bring it to me. Make it all the way through. You can eat what you got and die. You can consume who you are and die. You can consume your limited resources and pass on. But oh, if you give it to me. The Bible says it this way, it's so powerful. He that loses his life saves it. And he that saves his life loses it. If the little widow woman would have said, I'm sorry, I can't do that to my kid, I can't do that to my house, and so we're just going to eat it. Oh, it would have been good for a moment, but then they would have done exactly what she said. They would have died. Too many people are saving their life when God is saying, hey, I've got so much more. You know, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, do the commandments. Oh, yeah, I've done all those since I was a kid. Well, good. He said, but there's one thing more. So I want you to go sell all and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had much. But what he had no way of calculating is that what Jesus was offering him was so much more than what he was releasing. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, and a man find it and he hides it and goes and sells all and buys the field. Amen. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man that finds a pearl of great price and he goes and sells all and purchases it. The kingdom of heaven is more precious. So whatever you have, whatever you don't have, if it's something or if it's nothing, if it's broken or if it's healed, if it's whole or if it's half, whatever it is, if you will put it in the hands of God, it will be translated from limited to unlimited. It will be translated from temporal to eternal. It will be translated from carnal to spiritual. In his hands, Joseph, a boy with a dream, became the salvation for his world and his family. In his hands, Moses, a fugitive, became the deliverer of Israel, the greatest leader the earth has ever known. In his hands, Samuel, a little boy, became the judge over Israel. In his hands, David, a little shepherd, forgotten by his father, became a king. In his hands, Elisha, a farmer, became a prophet with a double portion. In his hands, an unruly, undisciplined Simon Peter, a fisherman, became the foundation of the church. In his hands, Paul went from a killer, murderer, persecutor, to the greatest missionary that history ever knew. So who are you? What are you? What did you bring today? Oh, it's so little, it's so invaluable, cheap. I don't really have much to offer. But what you can do with it is give it to the hands of an unlimited God. Amen. Could we stand today? If you're in this house, and you have a life full of regrets, if you have troubles, if you have weakness, whatever it is, God wants you to bring it to him. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Could we come? Could we bring our little, our limited, and put it into the hands of an unlimited God? Could we put it into the hands of an unlimited Savior? He can take your ashes and he can give you beauty. He can take your mourning and he can give you joy. Hallelujah. He can take your turmoil and give you peace. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's what he's in. That's the business he's in. He's in exchanging the bad for the good, the weak for the strong, the poor for the rich. Oh, limited resources in the hands of an unlimited God. Give it to him today. Give it to him today. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's go to someone and pray for them. If you're not praying for yourself today, let's help someone else.